There are fewer than 30 men in the world qualified to drive Formula One. A mere half dozen, perhaps, to win. At this moment, I'm inclined to think you're not one of them.
No, you want to.
Keep up the good work, Stephen, and there you have it. There you go.
Hello, this is Desiree for F1Weekly.com. I'm your in-depth correspondent.
Let's go with the qualifying, Steve.
Welcome to F1Weekly.com. My name is Mark Rogers. I'm the host of the program. I'll be joined by Nasser Hamid, my co-host. This is podcast number 871, February 8th. 2021, Nasser.
Thank you, sir. I say greetings and Super Bowl regards. But more importantly, we have Formula One next month. So now back to Mr. Bill Parcell of podcasting.
Thank you, Nasser. On today's program, LCH finally signs a one-year contract. K-Mag says no way to F1 reserve driver role. We have more from Gary Sloan in thepitlane.com. And real quickly, just want to remind you that we need your contributions to keep this program on the air. Just click on the Support F1 Weekly tab on the front page. You know you want to. I want to thank Balraj from Australia and John Pritchard for their support. We do appreciate everything our people do for F1Weekly.com. Nas, welcome to the studio. How are you?
I'm doing very good, sir. I missed the Super Bowl because I was in the friendly skies, traveling from D.C. to Tampa, FLA. But good to see a man from California, now a Tampa resident, winning the Super Bowl one more time. I was so blown away when I heard that this was his 10th Super Bowl appearance. So this is like some guy finishing in Formula One first or second 10 years in a row. Very, very impressive. What say you?
It was very exciting. I did watch the game, at least most of it. It was fun. My man, the old man of the sea, is the winner. And it's his 7th win. More than any individual, but more than that. More than any team in America. So yes, America and NFL have their own LCH. So, Nasser, are you pumped up or what? LCH signs a contract with Mercedes for only 365 days. Then we're going to have to go through this all over again. But next time, I believe that we'll be talking about Mr. Russell signing a contract. What do you think?
Well, it's good to have a Hancock from Hamilton, finally. We all knew it was going to happen. And let me address the issue of George Russell. I think he will be a Mercedes driver next season, most likely at the expense of Bottas, because I just cannot see. I'm fairly confident, especially after Nando has declared that Lewis Hamilton will win another championship. So when a man has won 8 championships, 105-6 races, why would he want to stop? Especially with the rules changing, somehow Andy Cowell or Toto Wolff or James Allison will show him, hey, we can continue this in the next era also. Would you like to stay here or try your luck at McLaren? And what do you think Lewis Hamilton is going to say?
Lewis Hamilton is going to say, I'm right now in Compton and I am ready to party.
Well, that is very possible. No, he's going to say, well, look, if I had stayed at McLaren, I would be having half the championships of Nando. And that would be one. So, but you know what is interesting? Everybody has an opinion, no problem there. There was all this talk of that he wants a veto on his teammate. He wants more money. And I saw a video posting after this announcement on YouTube, a chat with Toto Wolff. He said money was not an issue. And he said that talk about He said, in all the time Lewis has been here, he has never dictated terms who his teammate should be. So it's just people, when they have time on hand, they can come up with pretty interesting and sometimes convincing reasonings without really knowing what's going on behind closed doors. But, like I've said before, I'm interested in motor racing between the lights going off and the checkered flag coming on. So I'm glad this is over so we don't have any more speculation. Definitely, Mr. Hamilton has set new standards in performance and results, and I definitely want to see this thing continue. But as a lifelong racing fan and a purveyor of cage rattling, this season, regime change will not be a bad thing. But I definitely want to see him get 100-plus Grand Prix wins, and 100-plus pole position is going to happen very quickly, probably before the season even gets to Europe.
For sure. I mean, he will get the 100 for sure for poles. And I think it's going to last a lot longer than that. He'll be around for a long time. We just needed a little drama. He needed a little drama. He wants to be wanted and hugged by all his fans.
Well, nothing wrong with that, you know. And, a lot can be said, but, you know, we just want to talk about motor racing. On his team, Mercedes, they are set to launch their new car on March 2nd, so which is less than 30 days away. And this is interesting. The car will be called officially Mercedes AMG F1 W12 E-Performance. Now, everybody is getting on the E and diversity bandwagon. Remember the time when the internet bubble was bubbling over? The joke was just put .com in your company's name and the stock will shoot up like there's no coming down. So everybody is getting on this E bandwagon. As long as Mercedes stays in Formula One and stay competitive, I'm a happy camper. Sir, it's been 10 minutes. We have not said a thing about Fernando Alonso, especially from the left coast. So what's the latest on Nando?
Fernando is excited and happy that he's going to Formula One in about a month to show everybody how super bad he really is. And it's even going to scare LCH a little bit.
Well, that remains to be seen. But I want to see that blue Alpine car, if it will be blue. And talking of colors, there will be no pink Mercedes on the grid season, and no also green Mercedes, because Aston Martin, Mr. Otmar Szafnauer, the man from Detroit who is in charge of the team, he said it will be a completely new car. Obviously, they no longer can do the copy-paste. So I don't know how much that will affect Sebastian Vettel. But I'm very, very interested in seeing this team being competitive. And I would love to see both Nando and Sebastian Vettel get on the podium, which would be good. And I am very, very interested in seeing a McLaren win by at least, I mean, whoever wins, I'll be happy for the team. But most likely, if it happens, it will be from Daniel Ricciardo. And I think the last time they won a race was, what, 2012? Viva Brazil. Yeah, so it's been a long, long time. So, we're not too far away from testing Mr. Rogers in Bahrain. Are you getting excited? Any what you would call predictions for testing?
Well, I am getting excited. And the fact that Aston Martin is not going to be copying and pasting has to worry a lot of their staff, because really the performance of the pink car was solely based on copying and pasting and maybe some great driving by their drivers. On the other hand, if this comes out and is a dud, everybody's going to say, who cares about what Sainz Jr. thinks about going to Ferrari? If Vettel doesn't have a good package in 2021, the happiness and the free bangers and mash, all you can eat, is going to wear thin, and it's going to be very interesting. And it's the same thing with Alpine. We know these people. When they're not happy, things start popping. So it's going to be very interesting.
Yeah, but in defense of the copy-paste people, you know, I have to say, even in many seasons before that, that team, whether it was Racing Point or Force India, of Force Gibraltar, it was always punching above its weight. So I think they may not be as competitive as they were, but I am hoping that just like somebody how much was it, 6-tenths or 4-tenths? 6-tenths, right? That somebody brought to McLaren in 2007. So I'm hoping Sebastian is bringing something like that and can at least knock on the podium, you know, on a regular basis. I don't want to see great champions, which he is, go down in flames. I want them to go out on a high, like kind of a Nico Rosberg or how Jackie Stewart left the sport. I would like to see that happen to people who bring me a lot of joy by their performance on the track. So that's as simple as that. Now, how do you think his teammate will perform against him, who just happens to be Daddy's little boy, Lance?
It's once again, it's all about the package. I think Lance has proved himself. He's a good kid. It's not his fault that he has to carry such a large portfolio. It is a curse in when you think about it. But no, it's all about performance, le package, monsieur, and motivation.
What can motivate you when you are told on your, when you are 1 month old and somebody whispers in your account, you got $1 billion at Julius Baer in Geneva? Where does the motivation come from? I'm just curious.
It comes from Papa's loving smile and hug.
Oh, that's very interesting. Okay, you know, talking about large portfolio, we have a large portfolio in Moscow also. Now we come to the Russian ruling. Haas F1 driver Nikita Mazepin, he will not be allowed to race under his country's flag after a ruling against the Russian anti-doping agency was extended by FIA-run championships. So I don't know. You know what that means, right? Because they had all these problems in doping in Russian, among Russian athletes. So there was a ban from Global Sporting Authority. But Mr. Rogers, I don't know about you, but I will definitely miss the Russian national anthem when Nikita grabs his maiden Grand Prix win, no pun intended. And wouldn't it be nice if it comes in Abu Dhabi, season finale?
It would be. My favorite race. It's just so exciting.
Yes, it is. Anything else in the... Well, you know, I have some of the information here before we go into our motorsports mantra. Let's see what we can do here. Well, talking of Mazepin, you know, there are two rookies at Haas. Nikita Mazepin and Mick Schumacher both come from very affluent background, but operate very differently on the playground. Nikita Mazepin, a lot has been said about him negatively, so I'm not going to repeat that. But I would like to, he is quick. He's like Lance. He's got more similarities with Lance than just a rich daddy. He is quick, erratic, and of course does not have the success of a George Russell or a Stoffel Vandoorne in junior formulae. But let's see what he can do. Mick Schumacher, on the other hand, is definitely a product of his mom and pop, especially daddy's work ethic. He's very dedicated. He's very serious, methodical. And from, I met him in Abu Dhabi a couple of years ago. Very decent, very polite. And I saw him once in karting also. Just a very lovely kid, you know. What has surprised me about him, that given all the, you know, I'll tell you something. This was actually a quote on the interweb by Nikita Mazepin, because he and Mick Schumacher used to be a teammate. And Nikita was very, very complimentary of how Michael Schumacher brought Mick to the races. There was like, no, I'm so-and-so. It's just, you know, he had to do what everybody else was doing. So I think this is showing, and it really shows in his performance both in F3 and F2. And I followed these series for many years now very closely. And you can do that with internet. You know, you can watch these races live. First season in each series, he was nowhere. Basically not even a factor, which was surprising. Second season in each series, he was nowhere to be seen halfway through the season. But then came so strong, nobody could stop him. So will I see him do a Spa 1991 like Papa in Albert Park? Most likely no. And he does not have a fast car to begin with. But I will not be surprised, Clark, that if he stays a season or two at Haas, fly below the radar and learn and improve his performance. And then if they put him in a competitive car, or any other team, most likely under, you know, he's part of the Ferrari Driver Academy. It will be at Scuderia Ferrari. So we'll see how it works out. Any thoughts on this M&M situation?
I think it's interesting. But what if Mazepin wins a Grand Prix? What music do they play?
They will play something like Moscow Nights or Katusha, famous Russian folk songs. I don't know. You know what they can play? Like, you know, for Pedro Rodriguez in Mexico, they played the Mexican hat dance. Maybe they can play like something like Shostakovich Waltz No. 2, which is a very famous tune. Russia has a lot of good music, so music would be the last problem to find for him. But do you really think he's going to win a race in a Haas?
No, but anything can happen. You know, we are still under the COVID spell.
Yes, I'll tell you what most likely will happen with Mazepin, Nikita and his papito Dimitri. I will not be surprised if they end up buying this team.
Yeah.
Because Papa is still pissed off at Lawrence Stroll for basically taking away the Force India deal from him. You know, he filed a lawsuit and did not win that lawsuit. So I can see him buy out Gene Haas. And Gene Haas is a businessman. If he can turn his 100 million into 550 million, he won't be crying, saying to Gunter Steiner, have a nice day.
I concur.
Now your fellow Francais, Romain Grosjean, is going IndyCar racing with Dale Coyne team. And no ovals due to safety concerns, as expressed by his family, both his lovely wife, who used to be a reporter for TF1 television, France 1, Miss Marion Joule, and his three kids, boys. And how do you think he will do here? You know, Bordet had a lot of success. Do you think he can be as successful as Sebastian Bordet or Paul Tracy?
I think so. To be honest with you, I mean, if we go back and listen to F1 Weekly podcasts from the past, we always had good things to say about Romain Grosjean. He was fast. He was quick. I mean, besides being a crappy banker, this guy was quick in the car, and he had some impressive Grand Prix, especially once he gets into the Gatorade and the hot dog thing. Romain Grosjean is going to be the man.
Yeah, you know, he had a very impressive junior Formula career, just like Nico Hülkenberg. And I remember this was just before he came into with Renault, you know, in the days of Flavio and Nando. I remember very well he was taking part in three different series, single-seater, sports car, touring cars, and basically was winning in each series, which was very impressive. And then he's also a GP2, or as we like to say, Happy Dos champion. And so I think this kid will do well. And I think he's got a nice personality. I think he will become very popular here in American racing scene. And you know, interestingly, Kevin Magnussen, his teammate from last season, he just joined Chip Ganassi's racing team. And I'm sure you heard, next year he's joining Peugeot's Hypercar Le Mans program.
Yes, very exciting. And one of his teammates, I believe, is Dario Franchitti's cousin.
Yes. And also, another of his teammates would be another fellow Francais who was also, once upon a time, part of the Red Bull program, Jean-Éric Vannes. Jean-Éric Vannes, I'm very, very surprised, has not come to IndyCar racing, because he's also a very good driver. I think he will do very well. So we shall see. And you know, sir, talking of Aston Martin, we may have two Germans at Aston Martin. Apparently, the team is considering Nico Hülkenberg in case Sebastian has a not-so-fresh feeling on race day. Now, Bottas and Rubinho may be most underrated number twos, but one thing is for sure, Lance is the most rock-solid number two. You know what they say at American Express? Membership in Lucky Sperm Club has privileges. How long do you think we'll see Lance in Formula One?
One more year.
And then he will retire like Marco Andretti?
Exactly.
You know, that could be a good team combo. Marco Andretti and Lance Stroll at Le Mans or some other racing series in Piscataway, New Jersey.
I'm ready.
Are you ready for Ferrari to say no mas to IndyCar racing, sir?
Yeah, we knew that was coming.
Yeah, and I just, it made a good news story, but what, I mean, they're spending so much money in Formula One. What are they going to get out of going through IndyCar racing? Especially if they had to, if they were supplying engines only, I can understand. But to build a car and take resources from their main project, in which they have not won a driver's championship since, what, like 2007? So I think they need to keep the focus on Formula One. And sir, saying no, Rio is no go. The city's environmental boss, Signor Eduardo Cavaliere, added, Rio is racing for a sustainable future. Campo Alto Forest shall not be supplanted by Rio International Racetrack. Under Mayor Eduardo Paes' leadership, we have officially withdrawn the construction licensing process, he said. So much so for trying to take the race from Sao Paulo to Rio. And even the Brazilian president was behind this project. But these people have not given up. These people being in Rio, they cannot do it at the place they were going to do. So now they are trying to find another location to do Formula One race. You know, there are a lot of racing tracks in Brazil all over the country. I think the Sao Paulo track is very nice. And I would like to see the Brazilian Grand Prix stay there. If anything, maybe they can add a street race in Rio. That will be something. Would you like to see a street race in Rio, sir?
Not necessarily, to be honest with you. I'd rather see a second race in the United States. Brazil has got a lot of problems right now. I don't think Brazil needs a second race. It'd be great, but they have big, big human problems, real problems. And it's something Formula One, just by being there, is not going to solve. They have issues, my friend.
Yes, I understand. Okay, you probably heard that Mr. Pierre Gasly became the COVID victim, and I hope he's pretty much out of it. And then in life after F1, Alexander Albon will race for, stay with Red Bull program, but race in DTM in an AlphaTauri liveried AF Corse run Ferrari 488 GT3. His teammate Liam Lawson will drive in Red Bull color, so both will be in DTM. But I understand Liam Lawson, who 2 years ago I rated very highly, and I still think he's very good, just has not been able to put things together. He, I think, is going to do a season of Formula 2 also. So that will be interesting. And now, sir, your favorite, Bat to the Bone. The opening round of your favorite series, Le NASCAR, and their premier event, the crown jewel, the Daytona 500. I am very pleased to say Pitbull is the Grand Marshal. Aren't you excited?
I am excited, Nass. I mean, I've been stocking up on PBR, and I'm ready. This is going to be big next weekend. I mean, exciting. Or I should say this weekend. Yes, yes, yes. Go, baby, go, baby, go.
Good. Okay, now you remember the tragedy we had at Spa last year with the, 2 years ago, with Antoine Hubert, who sadly lost his life. You know, the other driver who was involved is this American kid whose family is originally from Ecuador, Juan Manuel Correa. He was very badly hurt, broke his legs and other injuries. But he is back in action this season, which is very, very gutsy of him and very commendable. But he's gearing down to F3 from F2 and will race with ART team. And, you know, we wish him all the best, and I just hope he still has the speedy head, which he was showing quite a bit of, decent performance. So let's see how it works out. And sir, do we have your friend from Scotland today?
Of course. As a matter of fact, he was just talking to me and telling me it's about time that we listen to Gary Sloan.
Hello, listeners. My name's Gary Sloan, and this is this week's edition of In the Pit Lane. So as F1 digests the arrival of the Mazepin family, the question remains, who is Dmitry Mazepin? Well, he's often described as a Russian oligarch born in Belarus who made his fortune in the Russian chemical and fertilizer industries through his ownership of Euroclem and potash fertilizer company Eureka. These positions make Mazepin one of the most important players in the Russian chemicals and fertilizer industries, which are among the most important industries in Russia. His net worth is hard to ascertain, with estimates ranging from $1.3 billion to $7.1 billion. But either way, he's a sizable bank account. There's been numerous scandals and investigations over the years into Mazepin's business dealings that questions his tactics and corporate government. But more recently, he's been in the international and Russian press as he's been active in Belarusian affairs. He proposed the formation of a committee in Belarus that would mediate between protesters and the Lukashenko government. Some sources speculate this is part of a move to take over Belaruski, the state fertilizer company. Mazepin is not new to F1. He attempted to purchase Force India, a process which he lost out to one Lawrence Stroll. He fought back and filed a lawsuit claiming tender irregularities by the bid administrators, and he went to court. The case was heard by a Mr. Justice Mills in the High Court in London over 7 days back in November, and in a lengthy judgment issued in December, he dismissed all of Euryclear's claims. Mazepin himself did not appear as a witness, and Euryclear was represented by his director, Paul Austing. In his judgment, Justice Mills made it clear that the key player's failure to appear in person had not helped his case. It was also rumoured that Mazepin was interested in purchasing the Williams F1 team after his attempt to buy Force India went sour. Then, last October, he resurfaced with the speculated bid to buy out Gene Haas, with the end result being a sponsorship deal with the obligatory race seat for Junior. Despite being a wealthy oligarch with ties to the Kremlin, Mazepin has taken great care to avoid any public scrutiny, especially outside Russia, where he remains relatively unknown. However, he has not completely evaded the attention of lawmakers in the States and in Europe. He was recently described by the prominent Washington think tank Atlantic Council as someone that the US government should consider for sanctions due to his apparent attempt to profit from recent unrest in Belarus to take over Belarus fertilizer giant Belaruski, which should further consolidate his and Russia's control of the global fertilizer industry. Both the United States and the European Union are looking to apply economic sanctions on Belarus in the coming months, and it's likely that Mazepin is in their crosshairs. He's also accused in an Irish court of conducting a decade-long corporate raid against rival fertiliser company Tosas using a host of illegal tactics. The legal proceedings against Mazepin are ongoing. Then, of course, he's embarked on an aggressive African expansion in Zambia, Angola, Zimbabwe and several other African countries. He's now chairman of the Russian Zimbabwe Business Council as part of the Kremlin's efforts to expand Russian influence in Africa. His companies Euryclear and Eureka have significant investments in Zimbabwe, Zambia and Angola, aligning with the Kremlin's strategy to grow its influence in Africa. So it will be of great interest to Mazepin that Formula One is closely looking at hosting a race in the African continent. At a time when the US is considering further sanctions against Belarus under the new Biden administration, the potential implications for Haas and Formula One are particularly serious. So you can only imagine poor old Gene Haas pondering, is it worth all the aggravation? In the interest of balance, it's worth noting Mazepin is one of Russia's biggest philanthropists, who supports, among other things, sports and has bought school buses for poorer regions. In 2012, he purchased $700,000 worth of cars for large low-income families. He also holds a PhD in economics. So time will tell Mazepin's influence on F1 and F1's influence on Mazepin. Until next week, more details at inthepitlane.com. Till then, stay safe, stay well.
Gary, keep up the good work. And now, we're going to take a quick break and we'll be back with some motorsport stuff.
Hi, I'm Giancarlo Fisichella and you are listening to F1 Weekly.
Thank you, Mr. Rogers, and welcome back to F1 Weekly. So now we have what we call pendulum of performance, what drivers can expect this season at new teams or with new teammates. The biggest test will be at the Alpine Furnace for Esteban Ocon. Arriving at the Viry-Châtillon platform is none other than Le Machismo man Fernando Alonso. This Fernando is beating his own drums, and I am sure Esteban is hearing them already. Alonso has dusted championship and race-winning teammates, all bar one. Heard it time and again on the Mexican radio, Fernando is faster than you. Time will tell how Esteban will handle this Napoleon Dynamite. If he can do a Russell in Bahrain or Lewis in Albert Park 2007, then Toto will sing, "Now I have two replacements for the price of one." And I say, let the show begin in Bahrain. This is really a topic with a lot of racing people as to how the arrival of Fernando Alonso affect Esteban Ocon. Now, Ocon obviously won the championship in Formula 3 against Max Verstappen, but that was Max's first year. But right now, he's got a huge, huge challenge. Would you have any advice for young Esteban, sir?
I would say stay calm, take a lot of notes, and whenever Fernando enters the room, hand him a chalupa and leave.
Yes, that's a good idea. That's very important. Next is giddy up in Woking. McLaren is on an uptick, and with Mercedes power this season, Zak Brown has two tickets to paradise for his drivers. The winds from Western Australia will be lashing against Lando. Driver Lando, I believe, is in his third season at McLaren. Am I correct, Mr. Rogers?
You are correct. It's hard to believe, but time flies.
Tremendous success in junior Formulae, winning 5 championships, each at first attempt. But now arriving at the Woking platform is Daniel Ricciardo, also known as the smiling assassin that he is. When Sebastian Vettel looked unbeatable and set to win more races than his compadre Michael Schumacher, Red Bull brought in Danny Boy from Hispania HRT team, and the rain fell on Seb's parade. When their only season together was over, the score was 3-0 in favor of the Aussie mate. Again, like Ocon, Lando will have to do his giggling outside the car and talking inside the car, and we shall look forward to the results. You know, I was reading an interview with Zak Brown, and he was talking about how their driver development program and philosophy is so different than Red Bull's, because he was talking about Lando Norris, that they have him for the long haul. They don't want to bring a guy for one season and chop chop. So we'll see how far he goes. Lando is a very good driver. You cannot win 5 championships each in rookie attempt without being extremely talented. And your own Dios, Fernando Alonso, was very impressed with him when they were teammates at Daytona a few years ago. Okay, now we move on to Sergio Perez. Sergio is a seasoned professional and knows what he is getting into. His teammate, the amazingly talented Max V, will be on the Grace Jones program, singing Drive Up to My Bumper, and I don't think he is worried about cage rattling on 23 weekends this season. Maybe 1 or 2 or 3, but definitely not on a regular basis. But if Sergio can steal a pole over Max or get same number of wins as Max, which I find very, very challenging for him or anybody, but that will be the real Cinco de Mayo for the hombre from Guadalajara. Talent, racecraft, and experience will help Sergio in his pursuit of what is generally regarded in racing circles as force of nature, a Dutch tsunami. Max is no Una Paloma Blanca. He is more like a sweeping hawk from Holland. Any chance for Perez to upset Mr. Max Verstappen at Red Bull in your esteemed high opinion, Mr. Rogers?
I think there's going to be many chances. Let's not forget, we also have reliability issues, track issues, and we know that Perez is very competitive. So I am saying that there are going to be many opportunities for Sergio to dominate and show Max that he is el macho de Mexico.
Yeah, that'll be very interesting. And he's very good in racecraft and tire management. if he can run within 3 to 4 seconds after the end of a race behind Max, that will be very good, because, you know, then if there is a small mistake or a small issue with the car, then Sergio Perez can pass Max and say adios amigo. I will not be surprised if the relationship flares up like, you know, when it happened between Max and Danny in Baku. Remember that?
Yeah.
I will not be surprised if we see a little bit of that this season. But we are very excited for the start of the season in Bahrain. And speaking of Bahrain, there may be some issues holding the race in Portugal. So we may start the season like we did last year, back-to-back events at the same race. Instead of the green hills of Austria, it will be the sand Arabian desert of Bahrain. But we'll take the motor racing regardless of the scenery. Right, Mr. Rogers?
You're absolutely correct.
Okay, now we come to Carlito in Maranello. He must be thrilled at the recent vote of confidence from his team boss, Signor Binotto, who recently said he does not expect Ferrari to have a winning car in 2021. Isn't that exciting to hear from your boss a month and a half before the season starts? This is a great opportunity for Sainz Jr. at Ferrari to establish himself as numero uno against a race-winning teammate, something he could not do against Ricciardo and Hülkenberg. Charles Leclerc gave Carlito's predecessor the Ricciardo treatment in his first season as teammate to Seb. The pole and near win in Bahrain was a statement of his caliber. Hopefully, we will see some cage rattling as Carlito and Charles are prancing around this season. Now we come to your fellow Francais, Gasly, a taste of wasabi. Pierre Gasly is on a natural high after becoming a race winner at Monza last year. That performance did not put him back at Red Bull, but had bought him more time at AlphaTauri, something Kvyat and Albon would love to have. In 2021, he will have a rapid rookie as teammate in the form of Yuki Tsunoda from Nihon, with all the backing and blessing of Honda and Red Bull. It will be a good idea for him to spend 2 seasons at AlphaTauri, because becoming a teammate to Max Verstappen after only 1 season in Formula One might result in Benihana hibachi steak chop chop. And you know, when Dr. Marco does a chop chop on you, then you're headed to IndyCar racing or WEC or Formula E, and Formula One drivers do not want that happening. So what else is going on in this world of motor racing, Mr. Rogers, that you would like to talk? Oh, next weekend is your big race. Okay, now we come to Carlito in Maranello. He must be thrilled at the recent vote of confidence from his team boss, Signor Binotto, who recently said he does not expect Ferrari to have a winning car in 2021. Isn't that exciting to hear from your boss a month and a half before the season starts? This is a great opportunity for Sainz Jr. at Ferrari to establish himself as numero uno against a race-winning teammate, something he could not do against Ricciardo and Hülkenberg. Charles Leclerc gave Carlito's predecessor the Ricciardo treatment in his first season as teammate to Seb. The pole and near win in Bahrain was a statement of his caliber. Hopefully, we will see some cage rattling as Carlito and Charles are prancing around this season. Now we come to your fellow Francais, Gasly, a taste of wasabi. Pierre Gasly is on a natural high after becoming a race winner at Monza last year. That performance did not put him back at Red Bull, but had bought him more time at AlphaTauri, something Kvyat and Albon would love to have. In 2021, he will have a rapid rookie as teammate in the form of Yuki Tsunoda from Nihon, with all the backing and blessing of Honda and Red Bull. It will be a good idea for him to spend 2 seasons at AlphaTauri, because becoming a teammate to Max Verstappen after only 1 season in Formula One might result in Benihana hibachi steak chop chop. And you know, when Dr. Marco does a chop chop on you, then you're headed to IndyCar racing or WEC or Formula E, and Formula One drivers do not want that happening. So what else is going on in this world of motor racing, Mr. Rogers, that you would like to talk? Oh, next weekend is your big race.
That's right. Daytona 500. You got to have your chewing tobacco, your hot dogs. You have to have your PBR, your jerky. And then after that, you start all over.
Yeah, you forgot the pork rinds.
The pork rinds, yes, that's true. But I was going to save those for dessert.
Ah, a sweet pig, huh?
Yep, a sweet pig in the morning is worth two in the bush.
And three in rinds, I guess.
Bravo.
Okay. Okay, sir. Sir, I've asked you before, I'm going to ask you one more time. Will we see a new winner in Formula One this season, and who would that be?
We will. We will. We're going to have a Fernando Alonso winning for the first time in 2021. We're going to see Ricciardo win. That's going to be fun. And we're going to see Sergio win. I'm telling you, we've got a whole new lineup this year. And the has-beens are gone. LCH might not win that eighth title after all, because we've got so much excitement in the works with Fernando El Macho de España.
Well, you know, it will be very, very ballsy to say that somebody is going to beat Lewis. But, you know, we don't know what the package is for different people. But if there's anybody who can do that, it has to be not his teammate, but Max Verstappen. And what a thing it would be for Honda to win the championship in the year they are bailing out. But it's going to be, even if the cars are equal, you know, performance-wise, Lewis has a lot of experience. And yeah, he made a few mistakes against Alexander Albon, but that's, you know, he does not crack under pressure. So, I mean, he's, in other words, a very seasoned racing driver now. And it's going to take all of Max's talent and all of Honda's grunt and Adrian Newey's brilliance to put an end to. But, you know, Michael Schumacher's run came to an end, so all good things do come to an end. But it will be nice to see a 8-time world champion in our lifetime, Mr. Rogers. I mean, I'm really looking forward to a Grand Prix winner who has taken 100 wins. I mean, it's just a great achievement in our lifetime.
I agree. It's a great achievement. I'm happy for him, but it might not happen. Now that I'm thinking about all this, the numbers are stacking up against LCH. It gets harder and harder to do every year. Now, after saying that, I agree, Bottas is still his teammate. So that he has under control. He's already crushed him. So it's all going to be about Red Bull performing and maybe Mercedes having missed the target. We shall see, we shall see, we shall see. Any final thoughts, Nas?
Well, the final thoughts are that I'm really looking forward. Well, Mr. Rogers, for the first time in over a year, I flew. And obviously, you know, not many people on the plane, and everybody's doing what they can. Obviously, it's still way too early to fly overseas or long distances. But I need more motorsports in my life. So I'm seriously thinking of maybe doing a few runs. Races that are close by, you know, IndyCar race in Barber Motorsports Park. But, you know, the way I operate is if I get something in my head, I'll just do it. And, you know, Detroit, Michigan is a very, very cold place in winter. And we're already, March will be here pretty soon. One of the things I want to do is, and I just might do it over the weekend, hop on a big old jetliner, fly to Romulus Airport in Detroit, and then go to the Henry Ford Museum in Dearborn. A lot of history there, man. Incredible history. And I definitely want to, very high on my bucket list. So, but I want to do some races also, you know, within the U.S. It has to be done safely. So we'll see what can be done. Who knows, man? I mean, if I'm in the mood and if we can talk. See, another problem is, you can go to these races, but doing an interview is pretty much out of the question. So that's a real bummer. But keep me posted who's coming. If you let me know 2 months before who's coming to the Monterey Historics, and if we can do an interview with somebody worth it, like Mika Hakkinen, then I won't have a problem, you know, going coast to coast and sit down and have a multi-sports chit-chat with somebody.
On that note, I want to encourage all our listeners to watch the Daytona 500 and enjoy every minute of it, which means barbecuing and eating and laughing. At least catch the last 20 laps. Nasser, keep up the good work. Gary, love the spot. I want to thank everybody who listens. I'll see you at the hot dog stand.
Thank you.